Thanks for having me up here. I've got a lot of stuff, a lot of content, because this gets deep. You know, we do the plumbing, or the plumbing supplies, the Lego blocks of the cloud. And so you will be able to get this slide deck. And if you can spend more time on it and go through the things that are there, I'm going to skim through it. Perhaps you could give it to someone who might understand it if you don't. But there's some really interesting stuff what's going on. I wanted to really cover three things. A little intro to what we do, Amazon, AI at Amazon, and specifically recognition for image analysis. What can you do with an indexed media library? You know what, and this is really just talking about scale. So we'll touch upon a little bit about the human machine interface a little bit. Deep learning is really where it's at. I won't get into the debate over AI and machine learning and so on. This is a sort of capability that has been around at Amazon for a long time, and internally, nothing's changed. This is the very first website in 95 where there was a book recommendation engine, and that's evolved to things like Alexa, the Echo, Amazon Go, the checkout list, convenience store, the Kiva robots that deliver goods in the fulfillment centers, and so on. So this is an internal kind of heritage, if you like, that we're building on top of. And what we do at AWS, we really focus more on the customer, the outbound customer, and to make this sort of technology available for everyone as a building block. So we don't write the really cool output stuff. Well, Amazon, the retail part, does, but AWS provides what we call the primitives, or the building blocks. And we think of data in a virtuous cycle where more data, once you've got more data, analyzing it gives you the ability to understand things better. And with that understanding, you can improve your products, better products differentiate, lead to more customers, and so on. So in enabling this cycle, here's a few more buzzwords, that, and I don't like them either, but big data, I hated that. I was doing that for 4 years. And it's databases and analytics, right? It's understanding, making sense of all that data, getting hold of it, the incredible force of it, the volume, the pressure, the speed of it, landing it, making it durable, and then doing stuff with it so you can figure out what's going on. But really where machine learning, artificial intelligence, or more specifically deep learning come into it is really in the space of enabling our customers to build better products by building capability in that was otherwise unattainable. This is the way we think of, in our AI services team, the way we think of the three-layer cake. And the solutions we offer for our customers, and we have customers who are data scientists, who have, you know, at least one PhD in this sort of stuff, extremely well-versed and want to build their own crazy stuff. And it's really, really interesting stuff, very highly specialized. That's at the bottom. We have the AI engines there. You may have heard of things like TensorFlow and MXNet. This is a one click or a few clicks and go with Amazon Web Services, and you get what's called a machine image, and you're up and running. Above that, the AI platforms, Spark ML, Elastic MapReduce, Hadoop in general. These are the machine learning engines that have been used, or the platforms that have been used previously with people like Netflix and Pinterest and so on, to build recommendation engines, smart interaction with their customers, between their products and their customers. I'm going to focus at the top, which is AI services. Now, think of these as embedded. The AI is done for you, or all the deep learning is built for you. Now, we recently announced Recognition, which is an image analysis service, but also Polly and Lex. Polly is a text-to-speech service, and Lex is a conversational interface, so you can build chatbots and interfaces, simple interactions between you and your customers. Recognition really does four things. It recognizes objects and scenes in images. It recognizes attributes about faces, and we'll go through these. It lets you compare faces to see what's the similarity between the two faces submitted, and then you can evolve that further into a true facial recognition build. So when we talk about detect labels, that is the API term for object and scene detection. So if you want to, you know, just go through the JSON output there just to make sure it's real, that's the sort of output you get once you give an image in. It's completely stateless, which means an image, you send an image in, you don't have to be with Amazon Web Services, you can send it from your own site, call the API, and the response comes back telling you what's in it. Now, this is interesting. It's a building block, and it's a starting point. We take it further. We look at faces. We can tell you about what is in the facial image that has been submitted. The eyes are open or closed, the mouth open or closed. We can get into demographics. Again, this is through trained models, so it's only as good as the training. And when we talk about demographics like age, for example, we give a pretty generous range because that's way more accurate than giving you a precise number that's always inaccurate, and things like gender and so on. This is great for recommendations for when faces, you know, think of dating sites and so on. Any of these attributes could be used in different ways, understanding the demographics of customers, for example. And the detect faces is the API for that. What you will see, I won't go through the code, an image gets submitted with three faces. We'll separate those faces. We recognize the faces, and then we'll give what's called a bounding box or a region, so you know which face we're referring to, and then give you all the attributes for that face. So that's kind of an input-output response. With comparison, we're really looking at the ability to compare two faces and say, what's the probability they're the same person? So we give a similarity score. Now, what this starts to do is get into the area of validation, authentication, and identification. I mean, in this case, we're not doing identification. We're just saying, is A the same as B? Is it close to? We actually don't take a qualitative response. We just tell you, give you the score, the relationship between the two as measured by our deep learning system. Recognition is where we take that a step further and you build a data store containing your index faces into that so you can then search against that later. What that looks like is calling an API called index faces. You extract the faces into a collection. This is your own personal private collection and no images are stored. What we're doing, extracting feature points, data points about certain features around the face, storing them as an array of floats, if you're interested. And then when we search against that later, we're doing a mathematical comparison. What has shown to be true, though, is this approach, deep learning approach, which, by the way, requires millions and millions of images to be trained and annotated and unverified and so on, whereas a human can do it with a couple of images. So the human brain's far in advance of deep learning systems today. But this is, to get to a near human level of experience, the amount of training is just enormous. And this is why we build these services that have the AI embedded, because that's a lot of heavy lifting for customers who want to build it themselves. When we want to recognize a face, the first thing we do, we index them and we get this thing called a feature vector and a unique face ID, and that's it. There's no names, there's no nothing. It's extremely, like, entirely anonymous and pretty complex. On the output, when you're looking for a recognition, you take a new image in and say, search face by image. Using this image, who is it in my database? And the response will come back saying, with a similarity score, it's this face ID. And then what you do, you map that into your own tables to say, now this is someone. And now when we getting into this role, it's the ability to build things like celebrity recognition databases, employee interaction systems, and so on, where the recognition happens and processes work as downstream from that. If we think about the way, what is the implication here for media? If you take an old picture from the 70s, I thought, rather than risk anyone's rights here, I'll just dig up one of my own, and apologies to my sister if she ever finds out I did this. I'm the blonde one. How do we turn media into an index? And this is where you think about it, the ability to say, firstly, it's not hard to do when you're looking at a handful of images. It's not hard to do as a human. What the challenge here in deep learning is not about the quality. It is actually a challenge, but that's not the win, if you like. The win is the scale, is implementing it at scale. So in a sense, we've come full circle. Rather than having to have people put metadata in and describe the things that are in our media and then use that to search and curate and filter and discover and understand the content, we can simply go back to who we were as humans a long, long time ago, visually driven and motivated beings, look at the image itself, extract the content of that image into a form that allows us to then do that at scale. So think of it as turning images into metadata, where that metadata is, the accuracy is dependent on the quality of the engine underneath. So in this case, what could you do in the index? You could build If you see that in the scene itself, we're looking at the objects. We see people, humans, brick, playground, leisure activities. So we have higher concepts, and this is a great way to find this image if you put those sort of search attributes in. On the right, we've got my sister's face appears to be female. This is from our console. The JSON is obviously a lot more terse. Age range, smiling, appears to be happy. So we're looking at emotion expressed on the face. There are seven major emotions. If you're all fans of Lie to Me, it's not quite at that level, but the seven bigger meta emotions are actually not too difficult to distinguish. Wearing sunglasses, eyeglasses, and so on. This may or may not be interesting data, but it's data. And the one thing, you know, an index likes is data, because then once you've got it, you can search it any way you like, curate it, analyze it, understand it. And of course, the ability to recognize the face as well against the database, that's another value point for this sort of approach. Now, if you extend that into moving pictures, add a timeline against this. Now, this is the sort of thing where you could say in this video file, at these points, this is basically a time series here, that face was appearing at these moments. So it's the Amazon X-ray experience, but not at a scene level, at a sub-second if you want, or a second level. You can index at any level simply by taking frames, recognizing them against a database of, say, celebrities, re-indexing that, and now you've got a full index of who did what when. And so when you bring this to an archive experience, which is what C-SPAN is doing, probably not as glamorous as the subjects that you guys work with, but C-SPAN works with politicians, and they have 97,000 of them, not just politicians, people who appear on their network, and they have 8 feeds. They all come into to C-SPAN, and they index this every six seconds. They're taking another frame and distinguishing it from the previous frame, because apparently people in Congress like to stand behind lecterns and talk for a long time. And the frame doesn't change that much. So they throw those away when they're very similar, and when they're not, they pass it to recognition, recognize that person, build that into the index. So now what they've got, they're building not just a media library, but an automatically curated metadata index associated with that. So now what they can do is go back, and you can apply this historically just as easily as you can do, you know, the more recent stuff. And you can basically put a name in now and find out all the assets, and not just the assets, the location in those video assets where that person was on camera. Now, because I know you're into architecture, as a lot of our customers are, but I wanted you to just show a little bit of, like, a couple of different things to think about. You don't have to think about this so much. Think about the real-time approach versus, say, the batch approach. In real-time media processing, and this is lending on some of the architecture we have at AWS, specifically components like Lambda, which is a serverless trigger. Think of it as a trigger function that fires. When media comes up into the storage layer, it just instantly fires. So now what you can do is completely automate this process. As media comes up, it gets picked up, recognized, indexed, and then you're good, right? So your index is dynamically building consistently, and that's for the take-homes, so you can read that later. Similarly, on a batch side, using the media archive, when you have a tremendous amount of batch, we have batch capability that will enable you to process billions and billions of media assets and then do the same thing, index them, build that index, recognize them, build that index, and then now you understand who is where and what objects were also there. So thank you very much for your time. If you're interested, these are links to AI blog and the product.